The weather is finally getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. Washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost like the middleman that passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I am so excited. I have two gorgeous lightweight cashmere sweaters coming my way, one camel, one heather gray. I cannot wait to wear them in the warmer months when it's chilly in LA. Throwing them over my shoulders, going to look so cute. Can't wait. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/judgingmegan for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/judgingmegan to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/judgingmegan. And now back to the podcast.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples.
Anyone else feel like they're talking like this time of year and sneezing and coughing and annoying your family while you're watching TV like I'm sure I do?
Well, yeah, I know that I am because my kids tend to tell me. Luckily for those of us who live with these symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, and itchy nose and throat and sinus congestion and pressure with ease in as little as a half an hour, by the way. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Hi, everybody. You are listening to Judging Megan with your host, Megan Judge. So before I introduce my really cool guest, I'm so excited to talk to him today. I'm just going to say a couple brief things. My last episode, thank you for the feedback. Yes, it was pretty much like a complete hot mess. My husband and I bickered throughout but we made it out. We recorded together and we're good. We're still married, everyone, and we're approaching our 24th year together. I know we got married, Kevin, when I was 18. I'm joking. We didn't. And then the other thing I was going to say is thank you for your reviews. And it makes it so much easier for people to find me. I'm so grateful to be hitting the top charts. I would like to continue to do that. So when you leave me a positive review, it helps new listeners find me. It's super easy. You go to Apple or Spotify, you leave me 5 stars. If you're not going to leave me a good review, please don't do anything whatsoever. And just, if you don't like me, that's fine too. But just if you don't mind, stay away from that piece of it. And I'm going to let you all meet my guest. I can't speak today. So Kevin Lapine, welcome to my podcast. It's so nice to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, so let me tell you all about Kevin. Kevin is known as the rock star of hypnosis. His show is called Hypnosis Unleashed at the Four Queens in Las Vegas, Nevada. And his book that's out right now is called Deep Into My Eyes, From Victim to Vegas Headliner. I cannot wait to talk to you. This is so great. We've all been put here for a reason, and we all deserve acceptance.
Judging Megan with Megan Judge.
I'm a trauma survivor from a really young age, and I have been diagnosed with complex PTSD in the past few years. I've been surrounded by death and abuse much of my life. I've been dragged through the mud and have been to the point of not wanting to go on anymore. Through my interviews with other survivors, I've learned that there is a way out. From recovering to surviving and thriving, we all have the strength to come out the other side.
You are listening to Judging Megan.
Did I leave anything out, Kevin?
No, but actually, I'd love to kind of start where you ended off talking about the reviews, because there are those positive reviews help with so many different things. Mm-hmm. I mean, with my show, with my book, nowadays we're in a world where there isn't really an entertainment critic that people listen to, because now we can listen to each other.
Yeah.
And there is a small group out there that just loves to be negative. Mm-hmm. I've actually gotten one negative review on my book, but it happened after somebody approached me about being a consultant for getting me good reviews. And then when I didn't hire that person, I got a bad one all of a sudden, which was really suspicious to me, because it was one of those things where they just left the one star but didn't make any comments about it whatsoever. And even in my nightly show, I once got a bad review. And what the bad review said was, all Kevin does is tell jokes, hypnotizes people, and makes them do funny things.
That's your show.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, to a T. I agree with you. That is exactly what I do. Unfortunately, some people just have this need to tear other people down. And as we're talking about this, I feel like we'll probably come back to this a lot.
We will.
There are a few different types of people. I have rarely met a person who is truly successful who makes their bones by breaking others. Most people that I know that are successful lift other people up. And that's really part of a community you want to build around yourself, is those people who lift you up, who build you up, the ones who give the positive reviews, the ones who don't feel a need to spread negativity, because there really isn't.
Can I piggyback on everything you said? Because I loved it. So, I got a negative star. So I'm very grateful. I usually get really positive reviews. And I call these women that have, if you listen to my podcast, that were my ex-friends, there's one in particular that I know it was them. I'm not stupid. And she went and left me a one-star review. You know, just like you, I work really hard at this to have content every week. Sometimes people complain because I have ads. Just so my listeners know, I do the ads so I can continue to do this.
Yes.
Because it is costly, and it is nice to be able to make money doing this podcasting. I'm on almost my 4-year anniversary. So there's always, Kevin, like, you know, always going to be people that don't like you out there. And that's the hardest part for me that I had to learn in life, but I do this so I can lift other people up, just like you do what you do to lift other people up. And the people that are going to take the time to leave negative reviews or do those kinds of things are, number one, not happy with themselves. And number two, like, why are you going to take time out of your day? Sometimes if I'm on Instagram, I'm taking a slight left turn. I'll see something and it'll really upset me. And I absolutely am like, I'm going to comment on that. That makes me so mad. These people are trolls and they're so mean. I made the mistake of commenting on something last week, and on something, I'm not going to say what it was, but I had people, literally one woman said that she thought I was stupid and that she was going to come kill me. Literally said this. I was like, what is, so I made the, I will never do that again. I'll just hold everything in. Yeah.
The other problem is we've entered into a different phase than the one we grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is people now have bulletproof keyboards. Mm-hmm. They feel that they can say whatever they want online because they'll never be held personally accountable for it. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of ways, that's very true. And in a lot of ways, that's being cracked down on, which is one of the problems with bullying now.
Yeah.
Is it used to be that if your bullying wasn't happening in your house, then at least you had that refuge. But nowadays, that bullying can follow you in your house through your laptop, your desktop, or through your phone. Mm-hmm. And it can be incessant and nonstop for people.
And especially if you're somebody, and then I'm going to go into your story. Sorry, but this is my last point on that. Because I talk a lot about, I have a teenage daughter, one's 14, one's 10. And I constantly talk about how horrific it would be to be a kid right now because their brains aren't fully developed. I was really upset by that comment. And something I was saying that was a positive. I was commenting something positive on somebody's post. And that positive that I said turned into like horrifically mean things and I couldn't even believe it. And then it kind of threw me off for the rest of my day. I was mad about it. And then I went, why am I mad about somebody that I don't even know? I'm not going to comment back. I'm not going to look at their profile. I'm just going to block them and move on with my day and learn from the mistake of not commenting and not going down there with them.
And that's something that also takes a while to understand is you can just block those people. You don't need them in your life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's funny because I actually had to come up with this point of view because friends will also rip on each other a lot, especially with guys. We will tear each other down quite a bit. That's, you know, the normal sense of humor. So one of the things that I had to learn when I was talking about building a community with people, you have to learn who to separate from. You have to learn who's not building you up. And one of the things that I had to learn was if somebody is teasing you good-naturedly, you'd better be able to think of two or three examples of when they were also building you up. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference between toxic and negative. Mm-hmm. If somebody's only ever tearing you down, it's not somebody you need in your life. But if they're building you up when it's important to build you up, that's where you build a community out of.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so let's get into your story. So you grew up in Detroit.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about your childhood, because I know from your bio, but I would like for you to talk a little bit more about that.
So I was adopted. The adoption agency put me in my mom's arms when I was 6 months old on Christmas Eve. My birth parents had given me up when I was about 5 months. So I lived all over the Detroit area. When I moved out on my own, I actually lived downtown Detroit in the middle of everything. But my childhood... my mom was married to somebody who was not very nice. When she adopted me, she divorced him, met my dad, who she had known many, many years prior, married him. So that is the person who I consider to be my dad, you know. My family tree gets really, really confusing. It's going to get more confusing as we go on. My mom and dad had two kids, so I grew up the oldest of three. And unfortunately, I was severely bullied throughout grade school and junior high. Mm-hmm. And it forced me to withdraw a lot. I developed a horrific stutter. I became mean. I became very, very withdrawn. I really lost touch with all versions of empathy, which led me to a moment when I was about 15 and ready to kill myself. And that's really what the book goes into. In the first part of the book, it talks a lot about my childhood, the good and the bad, and everything that led up to me wanting to end it all. Mm-hmm. And thank God, deciding not to. I actually ended up making a list of everything I didn't like about myself, which was a really long list. I made a list of things I liked about myself, which was a very small list, and a list of things I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And I really kind of prayed on that all night long of, this is what I would rather do. And the school I was in at the time was the center for all the bullying and the abuse. I won't get into graphic detail because a lot of your listeners don't want to hear the graphic details. But I was able to move to transfer schools. And I was able to start building a community there. I found my first couple of actual friends who helped me get rid of my stutter, who helped me develop, who helped me and listened to me and allowed me the space to communicate and start to grow into the person I always wanted to be.
Well, let me ask you a question. So yes. When you were, and by the way, I say this all the time, whenever I have men come on, they have an issue. I just did one a couple of weeks ago with a man, and he talked about being suicidal, and he was an athlete. And I'm always so grateful to all of you because I know how difficult it is to come out and talk about your mental health and talk about your struggles, which I would love to change. And that's part of why I do what I do. So I think whenever I have somebody come on and they're willing to share this, I think it's so important because I always have women that want to come on, but it's not always men that are the ones that are comfortable sharing their stories. So I just wanted to say thank you for sharing.
So growing up, my dad was always in AA. Mm-hmm. And maybe that gave me a different point of view. Mm-hmm. And I've known a lot of people, men and women, who fall into exactly what you were just describing. And for all of them, I would offer this advice. Horrors love to hide in shadows. Mm-hmm. As soon as you throw light on the shadows, the horrors diminish. As soon as you bring something out into the public, in AA, there's a term that says you're only as sick as your secrets. Mm-hmm. As soon as you are able to let go of those secrets, as soon as you are able to admit them and bring them out, they become so much more manageable. You have so much more strength in admitting it and talking about it than in hiding it. And for a lot of people, that can be a very, very hard lesson to learn. But I promise you, as soon as you light up the shadows in the corner, that monster under the bed goes from being, you know, the mountain to the molehill.
Yeah, I think it's true. And it's also like you're freeing yourself in a lot of ways. Let's go back to, you know, the bullying. Bullying is awful. I went through a period from like fourth to sixth grade where I was bullied. I went to a very small Catholic school in Maryland. I went through a chubby phase from like fourth to sixth grade. And I got pretty bullied, even though my class was really, really small. There were things that I'll never forget. And it kind of, go ahead. Do you have something to say?
Okay, then you're also going to understand this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because when you are in a small, close situation, because I went to Catholic schools from kindergarten through ninth grade.
Okay.
And that's where all my bullying happened. Mm-hmm. You also understand this side of bullying too, which is they're the only peer group you have as well. Mm-hmm. So your bullies are actually, quote unquote, your friends?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you think that's normal because they're supposed to be your friends, yet they're causing you immense pain. Mm-hmm. And as a child, you know, you don't know how to reconcile these two things.
No,
you don't know how. You don't know how to reconcile. And, you know, I mean, one of my classes, you know, I think there were maybe 16 of us in eighth grade, something like that. Mm-hmm. It was a small class. Mm-hmm. And when you're bullied by those people, but they're also the people you have to interact with, the ones you have to do homework with, it gets very, very confusing because where's the line? You know, I have to interact with my bullies and know that as soon as they get what they want out of me, they're going to turn around and hurt me again.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I think something that you said too is, I mean, mine wasn't horrific. It was a brief, I mean, it was because I already had some issues. I had lost my sister at that point. She passed away. So I was already like in a fragile place as a little kid. But I think what it stayed with me, and you brought up something about losing empathy. And I think it's really important to say, because yes. What happened to me when I was a kid, I was the sweetest little kid. I remember I would go to school. All I wanted was like to make friends. I would bring presents to the most popular girl that I was so desperate to be friends with. She wanted nothing to do with me. And I then, by the time I started to grow, you know, boys started paying attention to me. And I was the one that kind of got the attention. I was set out for revenge. Yep. And what it did to me was it changed me as a human being. I know that for a fact, because then when I went into like high school and college, I wasn't always like the same person. I wasn't mean, but I was very, there were mean things I did that were mean. Like one time I had a girl come up to me that I went to all girls boarding school, and I ran into her at a bar in Charleston, South Carolina. And I was like, "Oh, you went to my school. I know you. You went to Old Fields, right?" And she said, "Yeah, you were the biggest bitch in the whole school." And I then went in my head, I just stopped. I was shocked. And I just looked at her and I said, "I am so sorry." Because what I was really doing, and maybe you can relate to this, was protecting myself.
Yes.
Because I had been so hurt that was my way of protecting myself.
I was the scrawny little dork that always had his nose in a book, got made fun of, and got the hell kicked out of me. And in eighth grade, my school created a demerit, which was known as Kevin's demerit. And the demerit officially was using your words to incite negative actions in others. Because I had gotten so mean and bitter that I learned how to use my words to get other people to turn on each other. Now, eventually it would come back and I'd get my ass kicked again. But yeah, I mean, you know, now thankfully, once I found my community of friends, when in 10th grade, my empathy came back full force. Because I never wanted to see somebody go through what I went through.
Yeah.
And that empathy has helped me throughout my career nonstop.
Yeah. I think it's so true. I think there's probably so many people, like I even kind of think about the women that were awful to me, because I changed as well. But I think when I went through my experience of my breakdown in like 2020, really where I was suicidal myself and everything came to a boiling point, I learned that I don't really care. If you don't like me, I might care. It's painful to hear mean things about yourself even to this day, and I'm old, but I am grateful because it changed me to be a nicer human. And so now I know I'm a nice person and I'm empathetic and all the things that you're talking about that we need to be. So let me take a little shift for a second. So you got out of Detroit.
Yep.
Moved to Vegas.
Originally
moved to New Orleans. Tell me about that.
I moved to New Orleans at 25. So at 16, I started performing. Strangely enough, while my stutter was so bad, I didn't have interpersonal communication. I loved talking on stage. I loved being on stage. That was like one of my few refuge I had. It was where I loved to be. And I got picked up by an entertainment company. So, you know, I was like Barney at your little brother's birthday, or for legal reasons, I was the purple dinosaur at your little brother's birthday party, you know, or I was a karate turtle and, you know, doing costume characters. But that got me into clowning. Clowning got me into magic. Magic got me into hypnosis. You know, I built all these different talents. And when I was 25, I had the option to move to New Orleans for 6 months to do my shows there. 6 months turned into 5 years. The 5 years in New Orleans were probably 10 of the craziest years of my life. but it was great because I got to surround myself with performers who really push the idea of be creative, be unique. Who do you really want to be? What do you really want to do? And while my hypnosis show was really starting to grow at that moment, I got the ability to sit down and talk with people who went, what do you really want to say with your hypnosis show? I said, well, what I really want to say is I have something really fun and interesting to share with all of you. And if you walk up here, I'm going to make you feel like a superstar. And as soon as that became the point of everything, it was really easy for the show to take off and grow.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples.
Anyone else feel like they're talking like this time of year and sneezing and coughing and annoying your family while you're watching TV like I'm sure I do?
Well, yeah, I know that I am because my kids tend to tell me. Luckily for those of us who live with these symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat and sinus congestion and pressure with ease in as little as a half an hour, by the way. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
So once you left New Orleans and you had developed the show, tell me a little bit like how you landed in Las Vegas. I think that's amazing. I mean, that's known as such a cool thing. Go ahead.
There's a few adventures that got me from... It's not an A to B. That's kind of an A to M or N.
Okay.
While I was in New Orleans, I put together a college touring group. And we were touring, doing shows in colleges all over the country. Take Wisconsin, go all the way south, and then all the way east. And we would do that 3 months at a time, twice a year. Okay. We would do, 45 shows in 90 days. It was fantastic. We had a great time doing that. At the end of one of the runs, I was doing a lot more stuff in the Midwest again. So my idea was to live half my time back in Detroit, half my time down in New Orleans. And then as soon as I made that decision, Katrina changed that decision for me. Mm-hmm. And Katrina wiped out everything I had in New Orleans. So I guess I'm living back in Detroit. But while
did you
did
you lose your home and everything?
The second level of my condo complex flooded to the ceiling. I had a first level condo.
Oh, no.
Thankfully, me and all of my friends were not there at the time. All of us lost stuff. Stuff is easy to replace. None of my friends got hurt. None of my friends were killed. I'm just very thankful. All I lost was stuff.
Yeah.
But also at that time, I was approaching my 30th birthday. And my 30th birthday present to myself was I decided to find my birth parents. I wanted to say thank you. You know, at this point, I was living my dreams. And they had kept me for 5 months, so I wanted to say thank you for everything. Turns out when I got a hold of my birth father, his hobby since he was 9 was magic and hypnosis. So in every way, shape, and form, I'm like living the version of his version of the world less traveled. So I mean, just instant bonding there. You know, at that moment, I went from being the oldest of 3 kids growing up to now being the oldest of 10. I picked up all these other siblings. It's been amazing. But also in doing that, I met some connections that had me doing major corporate events all around the world. I now had the ability to travel worldwide doing my show. And then once again, about 5 years later, this was 2010, I had the opportunity to move to Vegas for 6 months. I had a bunch of corporate shows lined up. It was easier for me to stay there. Plus, I just wanted to see what it really was. 6 months has now turned into 14 years. I have been running a show on my own here at you know, the Fort Worth Four Queens Casino now. Every Tuesday through Saturday, you can go to VegasHypnosisShow.com for more information. And it's just this town has been amazing to me. I managed to meet some people. And what really gave me the opportunity was I met the people who were doing the show Hypnosis Unleashed. And I interned for them for months. I had at that point over 15 years of doing hypnosis all around the world. I had over 20 years of experience performing. And I chose to intern for like 4 months. I would assist in the show. I would seat people. I would do promotions. I would redo the marketing. I would do anything because I was also learning. And I will gladly sit there and learn from somebody who's willing to teach me, especially somebody who's got the real experience and stuff I want to be doing. And after a few months, they made me the offer to take over their dark night. So I now had one night a week doing my show in Las Vegas. One of the partners retired from Vegas, so I ended up taking his spot. So now I'm doing regularly, you know, 3 nights a week in Vegas. And then the showroom we were in at the time, it was called the Harmon Theater. It closed down. The other partner was done with Vegas as well. He decided to retire. He gave me the offer to carry the name forward, which was a huge opportunity. And I've been running the show now for 12 years, doing what I love, where I always wanted to do it. And it's every dream come true. Through the show, I met my wife. We've been married for going on 8 years now. We work together in the show. So not only do I get to live my dream of being a Vegas headliner, but I also get to do it with the most special person.
I love that. Let me go backwards a little bit.
Yes.
So
there's a lot in there to pull apart.
Yeah. So what I want to ask you is, I've interviewed quite a few people that were adopted, mm-hmm. some open adoption, some closed adoption. When you talk about meeting your birth parents, were you struggling to try and find them for your whole life? Or was that just, you talk about, no, okay.
Nope.
Okay.
And I will make this suggestion to anybody who's adopted. If you want to find your birth parents, have zero expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I had no expectations, none at all. All I wanted to say was thank you. If you are trying to find them because you have something missing inside of you, I would recommend therapy over finding your birth parents. Nobody's going to fill that hole inside you. That's not how human beings work. The only thing that's going to fill the hole is yourself. You've got to put in the work to fill those holes, to fix those things inside of you. Nobody owes you anything. I do know some people who tried to find their birth parents mm-hmm. out of resentment, and that ended horribly for everybody. And it doesn't work. And honestly, yeah. That's what most birth parents are afraid of, is that the former child is trying to find them because they're mad, which is rarely ever the case.
Well, you know, it's a very common story where people think it's going to, you know, I've interviewed enough people that go into it saying, oh, like, this is going to change my life and my life is going to be complete. And they're either let down. It sounds like your story kind of took a good and happy turn.
My story went so amazingly.
Yeah.
But the reason it went so amazingly is I had zero expectations going into it.
Yeah.
You know, when I met them, my whole point of view is I was just meeting two human beings, just like any other human beings out there. And there's 7 billion of them on the planet. Not all of them are going to like you. You're not going to like all of them. But it's okay. With 7 billion people out there, there are plenty that will like you.
Yeah.
And that's how I approached it. I just approached it as I was meeting these people. And it was funny because when I met my birth father, I didn't see it. It would be months before I like physically saw aspects of myself in him.
Yeah.
Everybody else in the world saw it immediately. I didn't. Mm-hmm. When I met his daughter for the first time, who was 7 going on 8, that kicked the wind out of my sails. Because as soon as I saw her, it was the first time I saw somebody who resembled me. And that one, it took all of my constitution to not just fold like a piece of paper.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's such an interesting piece of it. And the fact that you had that stuff in common. But then, like, we kind of skipped over some of the stuff of, like, the piece of, like, addiction and all the things that you struggled with.
Yes.
But the hard work and things that you've put in to get to where you are and, like, the never giving up. My listeners know this about me. I was an actress and I escaped through performing as well. I think it's really common for people to want to find an escape. And I think,
you get to be somebody completely different.
Yeah.
You get all the attention put on you in mostly positive ways. Mm-hmm. And you're usually around a group of other people who have broken traits that have brought them to the theater as well.
Yeah.
And broken people love trying to heal each other.
They sure do. That's why I do good what at I it, do.
But we try.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's true. For a lot of people, it is such a great, great escape. Mm-hmm. My addiction issues wouldn't really, really come to the forefront until I moved to Vegas. Okay. Because that was when I really had to confront them. I've never done drugs. Just never appealed to me. Drinking never really worked for me. Gambling, on the other hand, was huge. And it was once told to me that all 12-step programs could be renamed AA if the first A was stood for asshole. And there's a giant truth to that. Because mm-hmm. whatever addiction you have really just always brings out the worst side of you. Always.
It's so true. I think too, I guess maybe you didn't realize it going into, did you already deal with addictive issues? Not with drinking, but gambling. Like, I'm sure you had been to Vegas before you moved there.
I had never realized it was a problem.
Okay.
But there was one thing I did know that was a problem. I couldn't form stable relationships. Mm-hmm. I've got great friends. I've got amazing friends. But a problem with relationships. And my last week gambling, I had one of those great come to God moments where as I'm placing my bets and not having any fun whatsoever, my brain started going, hey, doesn't this feel like when you were arguing with this girlfriend? Hey, doesn't this feel like when you were having this fight with this girlfriend? Hey, doesn't this feel like when you had this blowout argument with your friends over a couple of things? And when what I saw, what lined up perfectly in that moment, wasn't just the compulsive gambling. I saw all of my compulsive behavior. I saw all of the behavior that pushed me away from my dreams. And I saw how that behavior affected me and people around me. And my whole thought was when I went to GA was, if I can quit gambling, maybe I can quit being compulsive. And part of this comes from trauma as well. A lot of my compulsion comes from trauma. Because a lot of the compulsion was, I felt an emotion. And whatever emotion I felt had to be acted on at that moment. Yes, whatever you are feeling is a valid emotion. But how you choose to react to those emotions are a choice that you have to learn to develop. And I had not learned that. I had not really learned how to deal with my own emotions. I let the emotions take over.
Yeah.
At any given moment. And I think that's true of a lot of trauma-based people. Mm-hmm. Because for years, when you were in your trauma, people ignored your feelings. They ignored what was happening. They didn't see what you were feeling. You hid what you were feeling. So you get to a point where you start expressing those feelings and you don't know how to temper them through anything. So they all come out raw.
I'm sure you get this all the time, but it's almost like asking an alcoholic if they work in a bar. How do you work in a bar? How are you able? I mean, you're obviously not gambling, but tell me what that's like. I'm sure people must ask you that question. How do you live in Vegas and deal with the addiction of being, you know, how do you say clean from gambling? How do you say that? I don't even know.
Here's a great perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've gambled at some point in your life.
Yes.
Okay. And you are hoping to have a big win. And we'll ignore the lottery win. We'll ignore the, you know, you just won $1 billion. Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll ignore the lottery ticket. But you are hoping to win. I mean, what were you hoping to win? A couple thousand, 10,000, 20,000? What were you hoping to win?
Is that a question?
Yes.
I don't even know. Yeah. I mean, I'm like a slot machine girl.
Okay. So you're playing the slots. If you hit a slot, what would be like a magic number that, hey, you just hit this, you just won, how much? You're happy and thrilled. How much?
I mean, I think I would be happy in like $1,000.
Okay.
Right?
You hit $1,000 jackpot. Yeah. You're thrilled. You can take that $1,000. What's something you would do with it?
I would probably put it back in because that's my personality.
Okay.
Yeah.
So first of all, as a compulsive gambler, I can't win $1,000.
Yeah.
Because as soon as I win, I may have that money for 2 or 3 days. And then, I'm just going to put it right back in.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important side of it to me, everything I ever dreamed of winning, I've earned by not gambling. Every dream I've ever had has come true because I'm not wasting time gambling. I'm not wasting my money gambling. I'm out there making every dream come true. Everything that I ever said, oh, well, if I just hit this big, I'll be able to do this. I'm doing that. I got everything I ever wanted by not gambling, by going out and getting it.
But let me ask you, so you said something in the very beginning, which I struck me, and I 1,000% agree. Yeah. You said, if you're not going to do the work, it's always going to come back to haunt you. So like always. Our trauma, and I say this all the time too. I'm like, if I don't want to put my trauma on my kids.
Yep.
Because it's a cyclical thing, right? So because I'm not fully healed from the trauma of my childhood, that's not fair for me to put it on my daughters.
And my uncle growing up said something to me that I've never forgotten. Mm-hmm. He was an alcoholic, a drug addict, and he was violent. He was the SOB that other SOBs tried to prove that they were badder than. Mm-hmm. His fights ended in morgues and in hospitals. And once he got clean and sober, one of the greatest guys you'll ever meet. And, you know, at one point I asked him, you know, well, you know, don't you wish you had the money back? Don't you wish you had all that back? He went, no, I don't want anything back. I don't want the anger back. I don't want the violence back. I don't want anything back. I just want to be able to move forward freely. And what he told me about going to meetings and going to therapy is he said, I've always had these demons screaming in my ear because of all my traumas. When I go get help, it takes the demons from screaming down to a whisper. You know, that trauma will always in some way, shape, or form be with you. Mm-hmm. But there's work you can put in so that it's such a quiet whisper you barely even hear it anymore. So you can go to deepintomyeyes.com. You can get the book through there. There should be a link that allows you to buy it worldwide. Of course, it's available on Amazon and anywhere books are sold online. Deep Into My Eyes, so it really goes into the main thing that it goes into is the picture on the cover is a bunch of fish all grouped up to look like a shark to chase a shark away. And that's a lot of my story is finding the community that builds you up. Finding people around you that want the best for you and you want the best for them. There are many people out there who will be glad to help you and build you up. They are out there. You do not have to stay in negative, toxic situations. So the book is Deep Into My Eyes. Please grab a copy. Email me if you have any questions. You can always reach me through VegasHypnosisShow.com, and that's where you can find the information on Hypnosis Unleashed. HypnosisUnleashed.com should be working as well, but I know we had a couple of technical issues with that too.
I love it. So in closing, everyone, thank you, Kevin. It's so great to meet you. In closing, you matter. Your story matters. Keep going. Thanks, Kevin.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Judging Megan with Megan Judge.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.